where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right, Jason, where can people find you on the Twitter before we get going here?
At James409Jason is my Twitter handle.
Awesome. And so this week, our discussion is about moving on, right? What's the title here?
Yes. What's next for Oglehead?
What is next? In your opinion, what's next?
Got to get up off. We got to get up, dust ourselves off, and continue doing what we do best with just fewer resources. We have to find a way to continue to provide for the children of Oklahoma. With a diminishing budget and diminishing resources and diminishing teachers. Teacher shortages wasn't addressed at the legislative level this year, and not to my satisfaction. I know if you listen to some of the legislative leaders, they did pass a come out of retirement bill, but it's so minuscule for who qualifies for that. I don't think it'll even be a speed bump on the exodus of teachers to other professions or to retirement or other states. So basically what's next for Oklahoma is we just have to find a way to keep doing what we've been doing all along and just do it with fewer supports and fewer resources.
Gosh, so does your district have something ready to go, or are you still going to be scrambling right now over the summer to figure it out for next year?
Well, we actually took the time to do a bunch of planning on kind of a best case scenario versus a middle of the road scenario versus a worst case scenario. So we've already done a bunch of the footwork, but now that we know the specifics, Governor Fallon signed the budget. I guess it'd be Monday or Tuesday. I give you Tuesday because when it was a holiday, she signed that budget. So now we just kind of got to wait a little bit to see what kind of legal challenges come, and if they do, and what the answer is. But we're going to move forward with what the budget is as is, and then just if it gets challenged legally and we have to do something different, we'll just cross that bridge when we get there.
Sounds good. Did you have a favorite question of the night?
Oh yes, I can't take credit for it. I talked to Dr. Cobb from Middale, and I asked him if he had anything that we thought we ought to talk about what's next. And he came up with a great question about what's one of the ways that the state of Oklahoma or our schools specifically could do that would make teachers' job a little easier. That was a really good question, because then that, from my perspective as a superintendent, I was actually able to read several different, ideas. That was a great group brainstorm question from the people in the trenches to find out what we could do to make their job easier. So I really like that one. I thank Dr. Cobb for it. When you're in social media and you're running one of those chats, you like to generate responses. So the more controversial a question can be is would you get all the good answers? So talking about the OK legislature and the budget was kind of like one of that dynamite questions. But there was a bunch of good questions on there and got a lot of great responses. And so it's really hard to just narrow it down to one.
Was there anything that stood out to you that you said, oh, man, I didn't think of that, or maybe I should research that a little bit more to go with it?
Well, I don't know necessarily say if it was anything like that that stood out. And Aaron, you know, when you moderate one of those chats, there's so many, from my perspective, and I use TweetDeck on my computer, and I schedule all my questions so I don't have to, manage the clock. But you get so many replies and so many retweets and so many quotes that your notifications and your Oklahead just that those timelines just explode.
Exactly.
So it's really important for people to archive the chat so you can go back and look at it, because you're just missing so much of the of what's going on during that time. One of the things that I thought that my general takeaway from that chat was, we in education need to be careful and not target all of our ridicule at 100% of the legislature.
I agree with that.
When I look at the relationships that I've developed with my local guys and my local gals, I don't think it's fair for them, especially the example I gave on Twitter was Alex is one of those, I guess, gerrymandering type districts where half of the town of Ellet goes to Senator Scott down there out of his hometown of Duncan, and the other half of the town of Ellet goes with Lonnie Paxton up at Tuttle. So I'm fortunate enough to get to deal with two senators. But one of the things that I didn't think was fair, because both of my senators were really proactive in helping Okla Ed do some things like fight off some of the what I would call the really detrimental bills, like the zero policy bill and the taking away or capping our FBA. They were instrumental in driving that home to get that parent committee permit on the RSA. There were lots of good things that our senators and many other House members and senators across Oklahoma voted on to help Okla Ed. And I don't want to put so much target on the budget and on one vote on one day to unload on them. Because from the eyes of both my local senators, they said that they felt like they had two choices, either to vote no on the budget that was presented to them by leadership and force a terrible budget for Okla Ed, or to vote on this budget, which was just a bad budget for Okla Ed. They felt like there was two bad choices, and they felt like they did what they thought was helping us the most, even though, you know, some people on Twitter and social media in Okla Ed really wanted something completely different. And so just to unleash a bunch of ridicule and disdain to the whole body is not fair, in my opinion.
No, when we start generalizing, I mean, that's how racism is, and that's how, you know, feminism is. And when we start grouping an entire body of people into the same category, we're not doing anybody a service. So I agree with you.
I know this is not always popular, but I don't want to be painted with the same brush. I don't want people to say catchphrases like superintendents, and I don't want people to say administrators, and I don't want people to say educators, because if you're going to judge all of us by the least of us, then that is a problem.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today, and I look forward to more, Twitter chats coming from you. It was a great chat. It was a great night.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you doing this for us.
Sure thing. All right, welcome back to Okla Said. I feel like singing every time I hear the Oklahoma theme song at the beginning of this podcast.
Well, if you do it, I'll just put a special cut into the podcast, like I did with Welcome Back, Cotter.
That was so fabulous. So this is Okla Said, and we are the official podcast of Okla Ed.
Indeed.
And I am Erin Barnes, and my fabulous co-host is Scott Hazelwood.
Hello, all three listeners.
Is that it?
Yeah,
mom,
it's like
dad.
Your mom, my mom, and my sister maybe sometimes.
The topic's right. So this week we were talking about,
by the way, you can find Erin on the Twitters at ebarnes73, and you can find me on the Twitters at Teach From Here.
Listen, if your mom, my mom, and your sister don't know how to find us on the Twitters at
by
this
now.
Point yeah, no, just kidding.
I did get my mom on the Twitters though, and my wife, so
that's awesome.
Yeah,
are they using it? I mean, getting them on is one thing. Do they still have the egg as their picture?
I believe that both will always have the egg as their picture, knowing them.
Okay.
But the missus is actually scrolling through a little bit and checking some stuff out. and that's having fun. Some fun questions. So that's cool.
So my husband got it whenever I tried to do an Epic teacher chat. He signed up, but he really hadn't used it. However, I get retweets every once in a while. He'll log in like once a week and go through and tweet and retweet. So I'm like, oh, he's trying. It's sweet. Okay, so this week we talked about what is next for Okla Ed.
Yeah, hosted by the Jason James, who is at James409Jason, and that would be 409, I guess, is if we're going to say this since you can't see it.
409.
There's a difference between an O and a zero. And he's the superintendent of instruction at Alex Public Schools.
Yeah, I really like where his mind is at politically as well. He's a big Okla Ed supporter and advocate.
Indeed.
And
I feel like he tries to do it in a way that's not necessarily bridge burning, which is difficult.
It is difficult. No, for sure. And especially in this climate. So, yeah, he does it pretty darn well. And I think he asks questions that are meant to stir, but not, yeah, like you said, burn.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was question number one there, Aaron?
Question number one. In my opinion, summer is necessary for teachers to reflect, recover, recharge, and prepare for next school year. What are some of your plans? And you got a new job. You don't really get a summer to do plans.
Yeah, not anymore. But, you know, the past few summers, when I had my big shakeup with my whole how I'm teaching thing, I spent a good large chunk of summer working.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be the female version of Scott Hazelwood and do that this summer with my content.
Yeah. And you know what, for me, I didn't feel bad about that. Like I truly enjoy tinkering on me.
And you can tell it's a passion of yours just in speaking to you. And when you speak on the topic, and you do still present on this topic, you can tell it's a real passion. So yeah. I think if it was still teacher mode burnout, you know, type stuff, it'd be one thing. But when it's a passion, it's totally different.
Right. It's like people that love to go out and garden, as it were. Then they'll garden all the time, and it doesn't really, it's not to them, it's not something they have to do. They enjoy the process of that. And that's how I feel about teaching and planning and stuff like that.
I really liked what Rita Platt had to say, and she is at Rita Platt. She said, travel with my 9 and 11-year-old, read, write, and then more.
I wonder what she's going to write.
I know. Maybe she, like I plan on writing a little blog piece about each of the books that I read this summer. Maybe she's going to write about that, or maybe she's like an actual writer, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I enjoyed what Haley K, who is at Haley K2018, she said, taking an ed tech class and teaching a science class. And she had me at ed tech. So,
yeah.
And so I think that's cool. I'll be teaching an ed tech online course this summer. I'm looking forward to it.
No, summers are definitely the times for us. And that ed tech, you know, learning how to do more with our stuff is so awesome.
Yeah, it's a good deal. It's a good deal. Question two. The the legislature of Oklahoma. Their session ended with an imperfect budget, and
that was a really cute way to put it.
Very polite. An imperfect budget for Okla Ed and other state agencies. What does this budget mean specifically to you? And I just want to say again, I feel like Okla Ed makes a lot of noise because that's where we live. But it shouldn't just be about us. It should be about things necessary for our society to kind of be successful. I get socialism is scary or whatever, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking care of things that we as a society want.
Well, and I saw another tweet by you today where you kind of got onto him a little bit this morning.
Oh, yes, it was a little frustrating. It's a frustrating mess. But Nancy Williams, who is at Nancy_N Williams, she said, I think it's so demoralizing for teachers and administrators. Pharaoh still wants the same lot of bricks with no straw.
Yeah. That, I thought that she put that pretty darn well. Brian Hayes. Well,
I hate to interrupt, but that's where our legislature lives. You know, they love that Old Testament law. So they should be familiar with the Pharaoh story, right?
Right. No. And yeah, what do you do? What do you do? I mean, God's going to send a plague, maybe. Anyway, Brian Hayes, Buck, who is at BHayes72, he says, for me personally, it doesn't mean much. I was a pessimist and figured that Oklahoma legislature wouldn't help out, you know, much at all. So he just kind of knew that this was coming and made plans accordingly. And so he's just going to roll with the punches like teachers typically do.
Yeah, we do that. And, you know, our friend at Blue Cereal warned in November, don't buy into their crap.
Didn't he? But what do you do when somebody campaigns so hard against, like, we tried hard to get into the House, yeah, you know, and to the Senate. What do you do when somebody campaigns so hard against you that there's no chance?
I don't know. It's just, it's a mess. We're a mess.
Yeah. Well, question three, with no teacher raise or other measures to alleviate the OCLA ed teacher shortage, what actions should ed leaders do to take to support teachers going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas on that one, Scott?
Man, I would love to see, you know, with with everything that we have to face as far as budgeting and all of that, and it's a ginormous mess. I would love to see our leaders and especially our school boards take some risks with their teachers and let them do some outside the box stuff. You know, you hear about districts in Oklahoma where teachers are teaching scripted lessons, and if they get off the lesson, then the administrator in that building gets in trouble because somebody over them is going to know because the school board has mandated this is how it's going to be.
Right.
And I know it's not like that everywhere, but I was so fortunate to have some administrators when I had crazy ideas. They're like, go for it and let us know how it works out. And not that I was intentionally making poor choices, but I was intentionally doing something completely different. So,
right.
You know, not to take a risk to be crazy and, oh, look at me, I'm flying, I'm building the airplane while it's in the air. Ha ha. But like a well thought out, reasonable, intentional risk. And when our administrators can support us, we can do a lot.
For sure. You know, I had the privilege of going and shadowing Rob Miller when I was going through the Ed Leadership Program. We were asked to go shadow a principal for a day, and I got, you know, he was the Oklahoma Principal of the Year at the time. So I thought, why not go follow somebody who's, you know, been voted the best? I got to go hang out with him, and he really is for that. You know, he's evaluated by the same measures. And he's kind of decided, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, and it's been a couple of years, so I'm going to do a horrible job, you know, restating this. But he was measured by the same thing every other school, but he didn't feel like he would take it personally. He felt like he still had the room to let his teachers wiggle, and he wanted them to innovate in crazier things. And I think that that's so valuable. And he was at Jinx at the time. I know he's not anymore, and he's an assistant superintendent now. But when he was a building principal, he felt like he thought the innovation was there. And so I picked him on this because I thought, who better of a teacher leader than somebody like him? He said, protect from idiocy of all stripes, including our own. Focus on culture and climate. Avoid practices that demotivate. And I mean, that really is just what he does. And I mean, he had a high five Friday. Everybody felt like they could stop and talk to him in the hallway. You know, he just was a kind guy, and he was in the Marines. Like, you know, he could be really scary, but he was just super outgoing and super nice. I really liked the guy.
Mm-hmm. That was, he does some things differently. And he does it too. Inside of his plan, because when you hear people talk about working with him, he always has a plan that he wants accomplished. But
for
there's
sure.
there's some freedom in there to, you know, go do your own stuff. So I can admire Rob, and he's also passionate for his faculty and stuff as well. So I really liked.
And,
oh, go ahead.
No, and Oklahoma teachers. He's a big advocate. He's always on the phone. He's always, you know, getting us more information. He's blogging about things. He's just, you know, when it comes to education, he's a passionate guy.
Super passionate. I really liked what Stephen Gammel, who is at Stephen_Gammel, had to say. He said, I think we need to continue to educate the public about this issue. The legislature obviously doesn't feel enough pressure about this. And I feel that same way. Until moms and dads are directly impacted, until communities are directly impacted, they won't, there is no urgency for the legislature to hurry up and do anything different. So I think I truly believe, and I hate even mentioning this, but I truly believe if you take away Friday night football, if you take away winter basketball, if you take away spring baseball, I guarantee you communities, there would be an uproar. But if you go, we can't fund these, and education of the student in all these things is our priority, then until something like that happens and until communities feel that, you know, when you can't go play your rival in football one year because there's no money for football, you know how upset, imagine, who was up there, Union and Jinx
in football? Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine going, oh, sorry, you guys can't play football this year. You cannot have your little rivalry. Tough cookies.
And that's a money-making rivalry right there. I mean, people go and show up and you know, buy the snacks and pay the admission to get into those games, too.
And I hate to say that because I spent every year I taught, I was on a sideline. And I think sport, and I think choral, and I think band, and I think drama, and I think art, and I think all these other things that are kind of outside your standard 4x4 curriculum set are so important to educating the whole child. But until communities feel it in that way, they'll continue to reelect people that have done what they've done.
Not just educate the whole child, but sometimes that's the kid's motivation. I will do well at school because I can play football. I will do well at school so that I can go to choir concerts. You know, sometimes that's motivation as well. It's not, you know, it just does so much. And if we don't have those things, and like you said, cutting it out maybe to prove a point, maybe what we have to do.
Yeah, indeed. Question 4, what's the one thing you wish the state or your school would do to make a teacher's job a little easier? I don't know. I always felt like I worked in schools that did as much as they could to lessen the burden on the teacher.
Yeah.
But you know, Joy Hoffmeister has said it, and other teachers have said it, and almost anything that the legislature does is going to eventually wind up on the teacher's desk. And so, teachers do so much more than teach. But I like what Ms. S, who is at Kindergarten Rocks, she said, allow children to be children. Look to research to make educational decisions, not the opinions of legislature.
And yeah, I almost chose that one.
And I thought that was super interesting because I think so often our policy is determined by legislature and whatever current mood they're in, instead of looking at history. Or looking at research or looking at best practices to determine effective policy. They get a hankering for some politically conservative thing, and that's what comes out, which is... Ugh.
No, I know. I really liked what Angela had to say here, Angela Clark Little, and she is at Ange M. Little. I wish our schools would do PD for effective advocacy and challenge more parents to advocate with teachers. And I think that that's really great. I do think that there is a need for the same kind, maybe not a blanket statement, but a template for every time there is something that is, you know, up for vote or, you know, a bill being introduced or anything like that. I think that if we had somebody, and I know Sean Heim is with OSSBA, and they do a really good job at trying to inform us, but I think if they created like a template, hey, we've asked you to call, and I do think teachers and educators do call, but once they get on the phone or ready to leave that message, you know, it's on the teacher at that point. I wish there was a template, like somebody could write a template for the teachers so that they knew what to do. Or maybe some teachers are afraid to call because they don't know exactly what to say or how to convey their point. And I think doing PD where we can get some of our messaging on point without name calling or slandering or pissing somebody off. I mean, you're not going to work together if somebody's pissed off, you know. Yeah. And I feel like we've got it. We're angry. I mean, I know that, but I do think we've got to do a better job at our messaging, so that we can be more effective. Yeah. And I think she had a great idea there.
Yeah. And I know that, her and Rick Cobb had a, traded some tweets around that whole idea of what you just shared. And, I don't know, it's frustrating because you have to be reasonable, but this affects things that you're so strongly passionate about. And as we've experienced with Okla Ed Chats these past few weeks, those things that you are super passionate about, sometimes the gloves come off really fast.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's tough. Now, I don't know if Angela's tweet will be available. I know that she's locked her account down, so I don't know if this will show, but we're sharing it.
Okay. I knew it showed last night at least, so right, we'll see. Right. Or maybe because I'm friends.
I think because you follow each other.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. So question 5, how do we present a powerful message for Okla Ed to bring about the positive change we want for our schools, our students, and our profession? And this is kind of piggybacking on what we were just talking about earlier, you know, finding a way to get that messaging right. You know, I think one of the things that the Teacher Shortage Task Force does is they have a group works on the messaging. And again, it's volunteers, so it's going to have to be a volunteer thing. We're not getting paid enough at all right now, you know, so let alone for doing extra work, which we already do too. But we've got to find a way to get that messaging right and polite enough, because I still think there should be some edge to it, but to get our point across the right way.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's sticky because a lot of industries have paid lobbyists that do that for them. And I know that there's a couple of associations in Oklahoma, but when you don't have millions at your disposal to create a messaging structure, it's challenging.
Right.
So Amanda James, who is at AMA James 1212, and I'm wondering, wink, wink, if she goes with our moderator. She said, we need to be as savvy in our messaging as our opponents. We need to share the good in Oklahoma, in Okla Ed, everywhere, every day, to everyone.
And, you know, and part of me says, yeah, that's right. But then part of me is also like, if we show how successful we still are, are they going to say, well, they could do it with less, so, you know, why give them more?
Oh,
I know.
That circular message.
So I picked Rick Cobb's tweet on this one. And again, he was tweeting from at Grindle Rick. He says, a 3-day work week. And I think he was being snarky. But,
I think he was. didn't Jason James follow him with let's just cram it all into one day, who needs sleep? Wasn't that right. Met tweet right behind in there?
Yeah. Who needs sleep? Who needs extra days? I mean, we'll put everybody on the back burner. What do you do?
But indeed, what are you going to do? Okay, so how should Ed leaders plan to empower teens to have a voice as districts deal with budget issues? And I know when I first started teaching 20-something years ago, we had a teacher-led contract negotiation team, and it was almost like an adversarial relationship with the district admin to work together through all of that. But when I left Edmond, it was more along, we're all having a discussion about what's best for the district, and it wasn't so much us versus them. And I liked that a lot better. But I think some of what we currently are dealing with could have been avoided if our school boards and our superintendents 6 or 7 or 8 years ago weren't as careful with how they shared school finances.
Right.
And I'm not saying that every school district was like that, but I know that in Edmond, we were hurting before it was publicly known we were hurting. Like that discussion took place in an executive session or whatever.
Right. Well, because you don't want to be super upfront about, hey, just, you know, we're filing for bankruptcy, right. You know,
I mean, and you don't want to startle your community. I get that. But I wonder now in hindsight, if more openness on our school districts at that point in time.
Yeah, because how many other districts are out there? I mean, Edmond's a great district. Yeah. How many other small districts were feeling it, or even large districts like Edmond were feeling it and not saying anything?
Right, and now everybody's feeling it. Like, it's horrible.
Right. I really liked what Dawn Collums had to say here. She is at Collums_Dawn. Give teachers a real voice. And I think that's where you were at. I'm going to finish her tweet here. Give teachers a real voice in mind first. And I think if we had an advocate, and you know, we all do kind of work for the same side, but then there are, you know, subcommittees and subgenres within education. You know, if somebody was able to be an advocate there at the school board, you know, it would help.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. And giving teachers that real voice, I mean, that's important because that's what we scream about with our legislature. Like we truly have no voice with them. We have zero. Where other industries have a very vocal voice that's listened to and brought in for budget discussions. And I don't know if you're going to do that for one industry, why aren't you going to do that for all of them? I guess
we're not a money making industry. And I mean, let's face it, oil and gas aren't really, I mean, anyway, but we don't produce anything for Oklahoma as far as they're concerned. Never mind the fact that we produce everybody who's going to work in Oklahoma later. But we're not a huge money making industry. Why would they give us a voice?
Right. Because I think what's difficult with all of that is, you know, when you're looking at an investment, which is what education is, it's an investment that doesn't pay off for 20 years. And so when it's hard because you want immediate real dividends that you can spend immediately the next budget year. And education is a slow burn. That's just how it's set up, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you, using your analogy there, we used to pay, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% on those CDs back in the day. We're a 1.5% paid CD now. If you keep underfunding education, your interest is not, you'd be better off, you know, flipping houses than investing in CDs, you know? I don't know.
Right. Or hiding money in the sheets.
Cutting holes in the wall, man. Put the money there.
Rick Cobb said, and he was tweeting from @GrindleRick, he said, I want more of them to blog. Respectfully, of course, I can't tell all of their stories for them. And I was kind of in and out of this chat because I was with my sister celebrating her turning a year older, but I saw this one and my response to that was every teacher has a story and nobody can share a story like that individual who's living it can. And I've tried to say that all along. Teachers need to take an hour to set their blog up and then they need to just share like crazy, whether it's through Facebook, social media, put the blog link in your go home newsletters, whatever it is, and share your story, share what you do. I even a couple of years ago, well, this was several years ago now, but I blogged 1 week in the spring. I just blogged what I did each day for 1 week. And I started after I got to school. So my blog started at 6:30 in the morning when I got to school. And that whole week there's like soccer practice or whatever. And I only blogged the school activities. And
that's
so,
really good.
You know, I don't know how many people read it. I'm sure it's boring, but there's so much more that goes on than just standing in front of the kids.
And getting teachers writing also, I mean, if we're expecting it out of students to be able to do, you know, I think it's just one of those give and take things. And I saw a quote, I think Josh Flores, you know, put it out earlier this week that says, if you aren't reading, why are you teaching? You know, we got to stay current on our skills for reading and writing, you know, especially seeing as how we're trying to teach it, you know, what better way to teach it than also to practice it. And I think if more of us can write, and I've got a blog and I'm very on again, off again. Me and blogger have an on again, off again relationship. But I wrote one the other day that I didn't even like super tweet out there because I was like, you know, it is what it is. But I got to get in here and do this more often. And I think if more people did, you know, like Rick is suggesting, maybe our stories do get told and, you know, share every one of those blog posts with those legislators.
I agree. And I was writing a lot. I was blogging a lot more frequently before school. So I'm really ready to be done writing for a super distinguished audience so I can start writing for me again. I liked my blogging and it's taken a bit of a hiatus.
I can't wait to get back into reading it.
Yeah. Okay. You and my mom.
question number 7. Outside of the budget, what is Okla Ed's most pressing issue moving forward? Hashtag Okla Ledge. So what do you think?
I don't know that there is a single, it's, there are many. I mean, where do you even begin?
Sure.
Like,
I think that there were two that were very prominent within the answers to this question. Yeah.
But I feel like that. But I do feel like that whole "my name is Legion." I mean, there are so many issues.
Yeah. I'd like to not have to buy my own pencils every year.
I mean, you know. But Andre Dowdy, who is at Andre Dowdy, he hosted last week. He said surviving the exodus of educators leaving due to attrition, advancement, and less enrollment in teacher colleges.
Yeah. And so that was one that I saw pop up over and over and over. Teacher, you know, the teacher shortage is only growing with this imperfect budget. Jennifer Setzinger, she is at Room 20 Awesome. She said testing and teacher shortage. And testing is another one that was super popular during this question. You know, our kids are over-tested. We were supposed to get rid of so many tests. And it still feels like, I mean, the entire month of April is taken up with or consumed with testing. You know, I still feel like we're over-testing. So does Jennifer, and definitely the teacher shortage.
Yeah, there's got to be better ways to identify how our students are doing.
For sure.
Or if we can take that test and you can get me the information back in 2 weeks because it's all done digitally.
Okay, and so yes, why? You know, why?
And here's the deal too. I heard somewhere, and again, I don't know this experience because I am not a third grade teacher. But apparently the RSA test is graded out on a bell curve. So you have to have X percent of kids in all the different pieces. That means you're guaranteeing. So I don't, and if I'm wrong, please correct me in the comments. But that means you're guaranteeing.
I'd like to know that there's a group that will fail.
Yeah, that's what that means.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, wow. I did not hear that. I did not know that.
So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but you never know. I mean, you just, ugh. Excuse me while I throw up in my mouth a little bit. I mean, ugh.
I know. My school uses a benchmarking tool, NWEA Map, and I know OSPRC, the Oklahoma Public Resource Center, they have lots of training in there. And so maybe if somebody from the State Department and the Oklahoma legislature could get in on one of their free PD sessions to find out a little bit more about this benchmarking tool. It tracks growth and within 24 hours is normed. They've got an algorithm that adjusts the scale and you get that result back within 24 hours. And it's a national thing. It's not an Oklahoma thing. They can do it. You know, there are programs out there that are designed to get you information more immediately than 6 months down the road.
Mm-hmm. I think benchmarking has got some perks to it because it's immediate, it's relevant, it's about stuff you're doing. I think there's some positive things to benchmarks if it's done right.
You know,
I've lived through benchmarks where we would tell our kids, all right, you're taking this benchmark, but you don't know half the questions on there. But the half you do know, you need to get them right. You know, you need to work on those.
Right.
I mean... Anyways,
yeah,
no, question
there
eight.
Are flaws to all of it, but go ahead.
Flaws indeed. I think we're all somewhat disappointed with the end of the Oklahoma legislative session. What path should members of Okla Ed take moving forward?
This question made me laugh because I felt like it was set up to be an, aw, shucks, Ma, what do you think? What do you think they'll do next time? I felt like it was a little Leave It to Beaver, you know? We were all somewhat disappointed.
Okay.
it just made me chuckle. I was like, is that all it was? Somewhat disappointed? Aw, shucks, better luck next year.
So here's what at Chris Coop 80 had to say. Christy Cooper, she goes, somewhat disappointed. Sorry, I am pissed off. Thank goodness it is summer.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Well, and Mrs. Malot or Mellet, I need to get a hold of her and find out
what's correct
to say her name. Mm-hmm. She is at LS, and I feel like I should say the whole thing. M-E-L-L-O-T-T. Malot. Yep. Malot. It's time to come up with a plan. Hiding behind words are not enough. What are we going to do to tell our story? You know, and that ties into Rick's. It ties into we need to find a message or a brand or some sort of same communication. People say it's like herding cats, you know, getting educators to do anything. And, you know, I think it's time. We've got to find a way to herd these cats so that we can get on the same page.
Indeed. Teachers aren't always on the same page, but in general, because for example, you could walk into any lounge anywhere in the world and go, I think all homework sucks, and you can leave and you will leave devastation in your wake, because the argument's going to happen, you know, somebody's going to throw a sandwich against the wall. But in general, in Oklahoma, I think there is consensus among teachers that it's not right. What's happening is not right.
I mean, somebody said, and I didn't use this tweet, maybe it was Angela Little again, maybe we should become a one-issue agenda. And I'm kind of thinking three, you know, keep it to three main points. We want to get rid of some more testing. We want a teacher pay raise. And what was the other thing? Teacher shortage. Find a way to get us more teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe, you know, if you take care of one and two, three might be able to fall in suit. But maybe we become about three-point agenda. And once we get one, we knock it off the list. Mm-hmm. Listen to a two-point agenda. We've got to find a way to bring our messaging together.
Yeah, it's scattered. And I've heard arguments, too, about teacher pay raise. And I was talking with a friend of mine who is quite brilliant. He goes, we need to quit talking about teacher pay raise. He goes, because then it sounds like we're whiny. He goes, we talk about per pupil funding, because we'll get a pay raise out of that. And so his whole thing don't look at teacher pay raise. Look at per pupil funding, where we're still dead last. He goes, that's what has to move.
For sure. Well, question nine, let's leave this chat on a positive note. What's one thing you want to do next year to positive impact students? And so for me, it's doing this flipping. I think that will help my kiddos out tremendously. And so that's what I'm going to work on. And I'm excited to work on it. So it was positive for me. But Steve Gilliland, and he is at STV_Gilliland. He said, I want to spend more time with Christy Cooper's kids.
Mm.
I may not impact them, but they will definitely. Kids are amazing.
Yeah. They are an encouraging bunch for sure. They're awesome. I liked what Vanessa Perez had to say. She said, get them into the library just near the books, using lures like games and more student input. You know, I know sometimes when somebody of authority, you know, whether it's a teacher in a classroom or an administrator of a building or superintendent of a district, when you give those beneath you more authority, it can be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But done the right way, the most amazing things can happen.
Right? Oh, I preach on that one. I totally agree with that.
So that's a good chat.
It was a great chat. What was your favorite question?
Question six, how should ed leaders plan to empower teachers to have a voice as districts deal with budget issues? And I think that's critical, because teachers want to have a voice, and it's just in Oklahoma, it is denied, right? But I know that in a lot of our smaller school districts in the district I was at, I at least knew I had a voice. And whether my administration or assistant principal or whatever agreed with what I had to say, I knew they were listening.
Right. Well, and I think that that's a good one because we still need leaders, teachers. You know, we need somebody to lead us and rally the troops. And I've heard from some teachers out there, you know, gosh, my principal has this woe is me type mentality right now with, you know, facing budget cuts. And we just can't have our leaders downtrodden and you know, doom and gloom right now. We need them to be great leaders, and we need them to empower us as teachers so that we can move forward.
It's a big test for our leaders right now with that, because if you're running the ship and you don't have any money to run the ship, that's hard.
Yeah. I liked question five. How do we present a powerful message so that we can bring about the positive change? I just, it's in my brain right now. We need to come together in some way and get our message right.
Indeedly do. Okay, I've got to bring my Boom Sauce tweet of the night up. Do you have yours up?
And so I really hope, I do. I really hope that people have their show notes working here, because I thought this one was awesome. And it was to the one about the budget, imperfect budget. But it had a GIF that went with it, and it was James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
It was our role, and it was walking away, right? It was the best, and it was Andre Daughtry's, Dottie's. It said A2, imperfect indeed. Next question, LOL. And the GIF, though, is, I mean, just perfect. You got to go out, and if the only reason you go to the show notes is to see this GIF, then you've done yourself a great service.
I will add to that as well. There was a whole conversation that occurred around question seven. So let's just refresh question seven real quick. Question seven said, outside of the budget, what is Okla Ed's most pressing issue moving forward? And this is kind of a several parter, but at Megan Lloyd said,
yeah, give it to us.
At Megan Lloyd said, Betsy, y'all, bless her heart.
Yeah.
And McGap Sparks, she said, I don't think she has one. Christy Cooper shared O'Byrne as the GIF. Mick Sparks says, I call him like I see him. Show me evidence that Betsy DeVos has a heart. And Rick Cobb said, I don't know if Betsy DeVos has a heart, but she does have skin in the game. And it was a picture of Cruella DeVille.
Yeah, wearing the Dalmatian coat. It was.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then you can see a puppy on the sleeve.
Yes,
there.
Yes, and then and then Megan Lloyd goes Cruella DeVos.
Oh yes.
I mean, so the whole thread was hilarious. I'm giggling about
it.
Still
going past that.
Yes,
I mean it just keeps going.
So, definitely click into that because it's worth it.
Boom.
Yeah, boom indeed.
So, what's Doug Brown talking about next week?
You know, I couldn't find out what he was talking about next week, except I do know that he is doing the talking. So,
all right. Well, yeah. when should we join into the chat?
I don't know. Maybe 8 o'clock Sunday Central Standard Time.
I think that time works for me
because it's every Sunday. It is.
Oh man!
All right.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Whoops, I thought I turned off my thingy-majig. Let me see.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.